All right, let's go.
Do it.
So, hello, Crystal.
Kia ora.
Hello, Isabel.
Hello, Darren. Sorry, Aaron.
this relates to some jokes we're making off the air, which make no sense to anybody. But stems from me forgetting Isabel's name. At least I had the presence of mind to ask you before we went on the air. That would have been good. So, Isabel, what's your role? Everybody knows that Crystal's
CEO,
the top dog at Cutio Project. Isabel, what's your role?
One of them is the backyard hub coordinator.
Okay.
So I get people trapping at home. As soon as they're keen, we jump on it. We get them trapping.
Right, and people will know your voice because aren't you on one of our ads?
That's right. I'm slightly famous with the advert we did a couple of years ago.
Has anyone at all said they recognise you? Because you're like, you've got a line and then...
No.
Then it's your kids
but
after
some
that.
People have called us because they said we heard the advert on the radio. So.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be terrible if it had been on all that time and no one had called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So maybe just say what the Backyard Hub is for people.
So I guess Cutio Project started with traps on the mountain and in all these public reserves and stuff. And there was this big lack of trapping happening in town. And so the Backyard Hub is there to kind of fill that gap and encourage landowners as much residential as on the farms everywhere, anyone who's keen to do their own little bit in their backyard to jump on board. And
so how many houses, in town have you got, do you know, off the top of your head?
We've got nearly 500 families.
Yeah, about 500 or nearly 500 households trapping.
That's pretty substantial.
If they are checking their traps, that is.
Ah.
Yes, that's how many have signed up since kind of the beginning of the Backyard Hub that we know of. There's probably others that, you know, are just doing it. They bought it at somewhere else and they're trapping. But also it does, you know, who knows, some people might have even moved away and we don't know, or they've got traps that
okay,
are slowly...
But you've definitely had buy-in though, like from the community.
Yeah, it's good, but we need more.
You need more, and that's why you're here.
That's right.
Yeah. Are we talking about what you guys wanted to talk about, by the way? Because we didn't actually discuss that.
That's why Isabel's here. She's like got the talking stick today.
Is that right?
Yeah. This is a badly prepared interview. We just joked about people's names off the air. And then we came on the air. But
I think what I love about the Backyard Hub is that, you know, people often react, right? Like they don't care about something until like the possum comes into their backyard and eats all the fruit that they've been waiting for it to ripen. Or, you know, the rats chew through their wiring in their car, or they chew through the wall in wintertime because they want to come inside. Like, honestly, we've heard all kinds of stories. Like, I won't name any names, but recently someone had a new digger and all the wiring got chewed through.
Oh, man.
Okay, so you know who owns a digger around town.
and is not using it.
Anyway.
Oh,
this literally happens, right? So make up those stories and it's like,
why are they eating the wires though? Like they want some...
I don't know.
I don't know if this is true, but someone has told me that they put this kind of fat around wiring that, like, to protect the wires or something, some kind of grease that attracts the rats for some reason.
Oh.
But I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, it's like, there's all sorts of things. Anyway,
Anyway,
they do this. They do this. These rats do this. These possums do this. And then people are like, oh my gosh, why is the council not taking care of this? Why are they not coming to catch my rats or my possums?
And the council's like, we don't have a department for that.
No, but that's literally like the reactions, like, why are they here? Like, now they're bothering me, they're affecting my life. And so they'd ring the council and the council would go like, why don't you run the Cutio Project? And so literally in the early days, I was like running around trying to give people traps. And I was like, I don't have time to do this. And so then...
Oh, really? That's what was happening?
Yeah. And so they'd be like, oh, you can solve it. And you know, preferably get it for as cheap a price as possible. And that's great, right? Because it shows that people, you know, in need, like when something happens, then they want to address the crisis, which is basically the crisis that we're trying to deal with every day.
Yeah.
And so it's awesome because, you know, when something suddenly affects people personally, then they want to get on board. And so for us, it's like a great way to inspire people to contribute. And not only will it make their life better, it makes everyone's life better because it contributes to biodiversity You know, like, so if you do the predator control, you get the results. And we know that. We've seen it time and time again. And so back in the day, like, we'd have small block owners, you know, like we were talking about earlier, like, that would maybe just have, like, a couple of hectares of native bush. And they start trapping possums. And, like, Nick was like that, who used to run the backyard hub. And I think she pulled out, like, 30 possums over a couple of months. And so it's incredible how many animals can be in those small remnant bush blocks.
What do you do with the dead possums?
Oh, you... People always ask me.
Yeah, well, you've just... I'm now visualising a pile of 30 dead possums.
Yeah, they do pile up and they become food for other species, and little insects and flies and maggots.
I mean, if you're on a lifestyle block, yeah, it's really easy. You can just toss it.
You can put it in compost, you can bury it if you want.
Okay, because that's what would happen to, at the end of its natural life anyway, wouldn't it?
But the possums didn't arrive like in one night. This was over a period of a few months. You know, like, so she was trapping, getting one, another one, another one. And that became really inspirational for us. It's like, wow, like, we can. So that's when we set up the backyard hub. We set up a trapping library so people could borrow traps. So it's exciting, you know, to see people's response. And, like, yeah, do you want to tell the story about Brooke? So Brooke's one of our educators who's right now picking up a bunch of year 7 and 8s and taking them trapping. From Raglan Area School.
Do you think she's listening right now?
No, she's not. Brooke. But she knows. She knows. I'm going to talk about
it. Yeah, it's all right. So she's kind of involved with it. She's been involved with the project as an educator for years. And really, I don't think has done actually much trapping at home, really, I would say. Maybe a little bit with us on the mountain and stuff. But just recently, she's just noticed or wanted to do something maybe a bit more about the possums and the rats, and she started trapping, and it just kind of gets a little bit addictive, not just for Brooke, just for anyone. Like, there's just such, like, such satisfaction. Yeah, like, you get, like, empowerment a little bit. Like, yeah, I've got one down, and then you just want to keep going. And some people just, you know, will get more traps or more, you know, or just check it every single day to you know, get to those numbers.
So what did she end up trapping?
Oh, how many? No, yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think she told me she got about six possums.
Six possums.
Six, just in, like, a really short period of time. Yeah, she's so, out, kind of just outside of town.
So are we in a situation where you guys are doing good work on the mountain, but it kept getting fed by the town? Like the pests up there getting...
Well, yeah, not just town, but it's all the remnant bush blocks. So, like, that's why we have traps around Kaitoki Walkway. We have traps around Friends of Wainui Bush Reserves, around the pine trees, around, you know, as many people on, like, Wainui Road. Like you can never have enough traps, like, you know, because... And sometimes you'll find that the traps don't catch anything for ages, and then suddenly... You know, you might have a trap somewhere where it's a pathway. Like, Let's Grow, that area around Let's Grow and Rocket.
Yeah.
Like, it's prime area for rats, just with the waterway. Kids eating food around the cafes, it all attracts rats, right? Rats and mice.
Oh, your kids dropping food.
Dropping. So crumbs, when my daughter went there.
And daycare.
Yeah, just to say, this is like over 5 years ago when my daughter went there, where I literally saw trails of rats going to the chicken coop. They would sit in the chicken coop looking at me, eating the chicken food, and then they'd feed the kids outside back in those days. The kids would go back inside and the rats would come in and eat the scraps and leave again. And they were so, like, used to that. They were, like, nearly tame. And so it was like, oh, it's actually also a public health problem.
But can I just say, they've got some amazing educators that have taken it on board.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They've
so
got their own little trap line and they check it very regularly.
Yeah, yeah.
That and, you know, Wainui Environmental, they've got their own little trap line. So that they are, you know, there's lots of rats, but they're doing something about them.
Yeah.
And that's what we like to see.
Yeah, and that's the good news story, right?
Yeah.
Is that they saw the problem, they came to us, we set them up, and, you know, they're really happy to do themselves, but also we can also provide a service that we do for people that are listening to us and going, oh my gosh, I do not want to do that ever.
It's 30 possums,
but I still
want
to get rid of these rats and mice. So then what can they do?
Well, they can call us and we can set them up. So we've got close to 10 properties that we see every fortnight and do their trapping for them. But we're just about to launch a little trial in Rangitahi.
Yes.
Because it sounds like there's quite a few rats hanging around.
Over there.
Yeah, lots of residents saying, I've got rats. And mice and possums.
They've just discovered Rangitahi is now full of breadcrumbs and things.
Yeah, yeah. So Rangitahi, just to say, they're also doing their bit. Like, it's not all doom and gloom. They've installed a trap line that goes all the way around the perimeter of the peninsula.
Okay.
Or part of it, you know, the big first part kind of thing. But within the peninsula, where all those houses are, there's a lot of houses there, so there's a lot of crumbs and rubbish bins and everything. And so we're just about to launch this deal. We're going to try to do it for a fraction of what we normally offer this service and get as many, because we figure it's pretty much like, you know, you don't have to drive very far to get to all these properties. So if 10 people can sign up, 10 households can sign up, then we can offer it a lot cheaper than if we have to drive to Greenslade Road and then drive to Upper Wainui and drive to, you know.
If they're all within walking distance, then.
Yeah, so it's kind of one job.
Yeah, so multiple households contributing a small amount of money per month, and then we go and check the traps.
Bit like a co-op kind of.
Yeah. They just group together. Group discount.
Mm. End of July, we're going to hopefully have enough people on board and launch that in Rangitahi. So if you're listening and you're in Rangitahi, reach out. We are going to have a little info session on Sunday the 7th in the afternoon.
Yes.
At Rangitahi for those people to just come and, you know, either buy a trap if they want to do it themselves or just come and find out more about this.
Mm. Have you got the right traps or the best traps?
No, we only provide the wrong traps, Aaron. You know, that's our gig.
I set it up for you and you did that. So don't call the Karigo project for good traps.
Don't call us because we will only provide you with the wrong traps.
Yeah. Call Jasmine at the Environment Centre.
Yeah. She'll send them our way.
It's a vicious circle. No matter who you call, it comes back to us.
Yes, we've got great traps. Great little reliable traps. It's not rocket science. Like, it's not.
But people struggle. We struggle sometimes with the traps. Like, some traps that just, I don't know, it just doesn't work.
Maybe we need to come and do a little fine-tuning.
We know that people struggle, but we cannot help with every problem in people's lives.
Just the traps.
Help with the struggle. Sorry, I'm being facetious. Yeah,
again.
It's true. No, it's a really good point, actually, because we often get people's like, we put a trap out and it didn't work and these traps don't work. And you're right. Sometimes the traps don't work. We have done, you know, we read a lot of research and we do our own research with camera monitoring and that. And there, sometimes we get sold the best trap and it'll catch 3 rats in one night, like some of these self-setting ones.
Yeah.
And it'll catch possums on the bush line. And then we have a trap sitting, like we trialed one at my place. The possum was sitting on the trap. The possum would not go inside the trap. The possum is an individual and it will choose to go in or not. And so some traps will be attractive to some possums and not to others. And so we always say you've got to use all the tools in the toolbox.
Yeah.
So one trap does not fit all. You need to sometimes swap the traps out. You need to sometimes use a different bait. You might need to put it at a different place because the type of tree you put it on, looking for marks, looking for tracks. You know, so it's a little bit of guesswork. So sometimes we set up a site that we did recently and we'll put a few different traps in different places and you'll get really high either bait take or trap, you know, engagement in one place and not in another. Who knows why?
Yeah.
So it happens because rats don't walk everywhere. They use, like, they scurry around little side and edges or
they do like edges, don't they?
Bins
don't put your trap in the middle of a space.
No. So it is a little bit of science of, like, trying to work out where's the trap going to go, where, you know, should we move it a little bit? Like, literally, we've talked to people who have been trapping. They weren't trapping anything. They literally put the trap 2 meters in another place, 2 meters away, and caught the possum or the rat, you know?
Okay.
So don't give up. That's my encouragement. It's like, if one thing doesn't work, try something else, put it in a different place. And
try different baits, maybe, or even baits. Like, you've got a Victor, with the yellow plate.
Yes.
You haven't seen it in a while, I can discern.
Yeah, yeah, you can tell. I had to think about that.
But, you know, setting
it's
the
plate. It's kind of dirty like, now.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yes, yeah, that is. It has been catching rats. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like just there's different things you can do. You know, how
did you remember
you
what rat trap
well,
I've got?
Well, that is our go-to, it's her but job. I do remember oh, okay. dropping it off to you.
Right, sorry to interrupt there. I was just
yeah. Yeah, just... you know how hard you set the plate, like how sensitive you.
Oh yeah,
set
I was yeah I was out there like getting it just on the edge.
Okay, hurt is that when you caught your rats?
That's when I caught my hand.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
I was like, okay, not there.
So if
but,
we
but
still
we did,
haven't,
but we did after that we did catch yeah. rats. Yeah,
yeah, and if we still haven't convinced people now to get trapping. So there's the reasons are it can chew out your wiring, it can chew through the walls, and it's just like not nice to have around your house. It's also good for biodiversity, and if you're still not convinced to do this, it's a really good dinner,
oh my God.
Party conversation starter. Oh.
Yeah.
Dinner party conversation starter. How many rats have you caught lately? Like yep. opens up any conversation. It's great. Yeah.
The different discussions that happen at Raglan dinner party. Yeah. So yeah, and the advice and you, yeah, it's the advice like and you do feel when it doesn't work, you throw a trap out and it does well not throw but you put the trap out and it doesn't work. And also cheese, they don't really like cheese so
yeah,
much, do they?
They do, but it's definitely not the top. Peanut butter is definitely probably the easiest and the
yeah.
One of the, it's way up there on the rats and mice's yeah. favorites. Yeah. But changing it up is good as well. If you feel like your traps aren't catching as much as you think they should for the time of the year or whatever, then change your bait. Try something else. Mm. Try like chocolate covered raisins
yeah.
or a tiny
fatty,
bit of
fatty,
or like
oily
cheese is a
stuff.
Good one to swap.
Yeah, why
out.
Not? Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Mm. Crystal, yeah. you were at the last science night. Did you go to that, Isabel?
Bexy's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, eh?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice seeing her talk to her people, you know, like seeing the support. She was stoked that there was lots of Kadigoi people. It was really nice.
Yeah, it was people were crammed into the front
the
bar of the Harvey
hot.
Hotel. Yeah, it did get pretty warm.
Yeah, I was dressed for the back garden.
Yeah,
run.
Me too. Yeah, because that's where I'd been last time. Yeah, but it was very cold outside.
Yeah.
So that's for people wondering, this is the corridor project between Mangatauteri and Parongia.
Mm.
And when I saw, because I'd interviewed her about it a couple of weeks earlier, but when I saw the maps, I was like, oh, that's a long way.
Oh, yeah.
That's an ambitious project.
Mm.
But it sounds like there's just so much community support for it over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's cool because, like, once, you know, a few farmers get planting and doing that stuff, it really inspires their neighbours and other people around them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd already had, like, huge support and amazing farmers doing some of that work. And then the project, you know, became from a stream care project, it became a wider vision around connecting the two mountains. And, yeah, it's really cool to see... You know, they've just built on that momentum. And having funding out there is obviously really helpful. So they've got really great funding from, like, the Waikato River Authority and that. And so they can provide farmers a really good deal, you know, which is obviously encouraging. And then farmers feel supported too because a lot of them want to do this work, but sometimes the cost can be prohibitive.
Yeah, each individual tree doesn't cost much, but it's a heck of a lot of trees.
Well, it's also the fencing that they have to do. That's a huge cost.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have to move fencing or, like, remove old fencing. So it's a big job.
And I guess there's a bit of maintenance too. Talking to the weed buster guys, like, the riparian corridors can be a place for pest plants to move as well, slowly, but surely toward places they shouldn't
be. Pest plants, everything can move, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just the reality. Yeah, got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and that's what I see in all of this, like the Kariwi project, and you're talking about how the backyard hub started with there was just demand for it or there was just interest in it, and the Kariwi project started off with random people trapping on the mountain because they just felt like they wanted to. And that project over there, a lot of things started, something started 20 years ago, and they've just, everything just keeps exploding in enthusiasm and support for this. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. It was quite inspiring how Bexy was saying, you know, they had this vision and it's like, she was talking about Manga Tauteri and how they had this vision, but they are well beyond that vision now, you know, like things have gone so much better than they even thought. So there is hope, eh, that if we all get on board and we all do our bit, like things, you know.
Yeah, well, it's teeming with life. There's too much now. Like that, it's been natural for a lot of those birds to want to leave and go somewhere else. So, and it can seed other areas, but lots of trapping required.
Yeah, definitely need the trapping. And that's the thing that we're really trying to work with landowners too. We've had some awesome landowners revegetating whole bare areas of, you know, paddocks and like buying up land and replanting it with harbour care. And then we've come in and then providing the trapping service.
Well, we don't have harbour care anymore. What do people do for their riparian management?
They have to go somewhere else.
That's not your job. That's
no. Well, it's definitely.
I was just wondering if you knew.
A thought we had no. Well, there's farmers, and I can't. I think Te Puni River Care, I think, might have done the job for one farmer out here. I'd have to check, Aaron.
But the regional council would know anyway, wouldn't they?
Yeah. You can get advice from regional council. There are still other providers. Yeah. But it is. Sad not to have harbour care in this community anymore.
And one last question we always ask, what the oi is up to at the moment, the grey-faced petrel.
They're out at sea, but exciting, we have just been catching little blues on camera.
Little blue penguins?
Yep, little blue penguins. So they are coming in and out because they come to shore every night and they nest building and starting their breeding cycle as well. So
dogs on on the leash already?
Dog on the leash is, definitely, and especially during early morning and dusk, you know, at night.
Yeah.
Like all throughout the year, really, at that end of the beach, they should really be on
the south end of the beach. And then, so the seabirds are out at sea, although we have seen some younger birds still coming in, and people have heard them about a week or two ago, we were still hearing them. Flying across.
Which end are you calling the south end?
South end of the beach.
The far end from here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like north.
In my mind, it runs east-west, so which I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong about.
Well, you know, if you think of the overall New Zealand north-south, surely it goes that way, no?
I'm saying in my mind. So,
wow, it's if I go interesting.
To the, if I go down,
I have never thought that.
If I go down to the surf club, Isabel's getting her maps out now. If I go to the surf club, if I go down where the surf club is, do I turn left or right on the beach?
Oh, right, yeah. So you turn
right
left.
Right there. If you're at the beach club,
left south.
Left, okay.
Left, south, but you know the other set of the big set of stairs at the other little car park. At the roundabout.
Like the north end.
No, like just north of the surf, the lifesaving club.
So then close to town.
No, I'm still over
He's
there.
He's talking east.
So there's the surf east. Club that's really close to the south end. And then just north of that, there's the big set of wooden stairs that go down from the other car park.
Yeah.
From those stairs... It's actually like even council, you know, from those stairs, your dog should be on lead.
Okay. Yeah, let's just say the whole beach.
No.
People aren't going to do that.
Yeah, it's good to have dogs, you know. And the other places, you're not going to have the penguins. Well, as far as we know, there's no penguins at that, you know, past that.
Mm.
Or seabirds.
Nesting.
Yeah, okay.
As far as we know.
All right.
But pretty cool. So we literally have these little blue penguin waddling across the rocks and into, you know, coastal, kind of lower coastal areas and setting up, nesting sites. So we've
You twisted it around. No, look, north is not, look, the north is twisted on your phone.
No, it's not. This is, I haven't touched it.
Okay. I can't show
you
this picture.
We're going to finish the interview now.
Here's the picture of the little blue penguin.
Oh, that's a nice picture. There we go. So that's caught by your camera.
Yeah, by one of our field cameras. Yeah,
cool.
Monitoring cameras. So that was pretty exciting to see them come ashore because we know they're there, but it's always exciting when we get to see them, right?
Yeah.
So, so that's pretty cool. So it's a pretty much a regular, like most years now we see them and we've, you know, seen chicks fledge as well from there. Mm. But because they breed so low down, they are really vulnerable to high wave and surges, you know, of tides and that. So sometimes their burrows end up getting washed out as well.
But yeah, this little guy is gonna have a
be safe.
They're gonna have a little nesting site, yeah, in a secret spot near you.
All right, well let's let's wrap up the interview and get the maps out and sort out where this beach is.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Isabel and Crystal from the Karigoi Project. If people want to talk to you guys about the Backyard Hub or the paid service to completely take care of everything, what do they do?
If they go to our website, it's probably the easiest. All our contact info is on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. KarigoiProject.co.nz.